Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know. He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Hello and welcome to the worst idea of all time, total immersion edition, but only for one of us, and that one is me, Spindly Timbly Wimbly, your humble servant in entertainment. I am wrecked.
Yeah. A few questions right off the bat. I can't see you, but judging by the audio surrounds with which I'm speaking to you, are you still in the tub?
I'm in the tub.
Oh, my God.
Splashing around.
Yeah, that's a good noise. Can you give us more of that moving water? What? What? What color is the water?
That's fine. It's pretty see-through. It's all good. Man, I tell you
what are you wearing?
This was stupid. This was a dumb idea. This was bad. My eyes hurt so much. I've got like a splitting headache from having a fucking cell phone screen like jammed up against my eyes for the last 2 hours. This was wild. So here's the rub.
Tim, before you launch into it, I need to know what you're wearing.
Oh, right. I put togs on. I put some togs on so that I could take some video for you because you specifically requested it and I want to send you my penis.
Fair enough. And what's the temp of the water?
Tepid now. So yeah. I started off scalding hot, like way too hot. And it took me, because you were saying, and my wife Zoe was, you both were saying, you were like, the water will get cold. And then you're just sitting in a cold bathtub for like however long. It's a long movie, which is true. So I made the water real fucking hot straight off the bat. And as a result, it took me 10 minutes to like lower myself into the water because it was scalding hot. And then once I had some supplies because I really thought this out because I wanted to be as undisturbed as possible. So I made a smoothie and a coffee and I put them next to the tub and then I got the headset on and everything. And I've been wearing noise cancelling headphones as well for the last 2.5 hours. So I finally, after 10 minutes of like inch by inch lowering my body into this incredibly hot bathtub, I finally got in and I stretched my arm out and knocked over the smoothie completely. And,
into the bath?
Nah, knocked it onto the floor. So then we had to stop and clean that up and then start the whole process again of lowering myself in. But I have got such a headache.
Keep talking. Yeah, so I'm not surprised.
The other thing was, because it was so scalding hot, like I got to about the, I reckon, 30-35 minute mark, and I tried to hold out for as long as possible. But I was like, I'm going to faint in the tub. And then I was thinking about it and I was like, man, what will happen if I faint in the tub? It'll definitely break these headphones, these noise cancelling headphones. Will it electrocute me? Probably not. What about my cell phone? Nah, that's waterproof apparently. So worst case scenario, I probably won't get electrically shocked or anything. I won't get electrocuted. I could drowning, drowning's possible. And then, just when I was thinking, I was like, man, this is the limit. This is my physical limit of how much heat and humidity I can stand. And then my phone was like, hey, dude, I'm overheating. I can't do this VR thing anymore. you're a madman. So then I had to stop and get out of the tub and fashion using a USB fan and a battery pack, a fan that would like blow down into the phone while I watched. The whole thing's been quite an experience.
This is the absolute height of Tim Batt. I am so proud of you for doing this. I'm so happy you decided to do it, and I'm just absolutely, you know, gleeful at how challenging the entire enterprise has proven to be.
I got so mad at you, and I don't know why. Midway through, I was just like, I am absolutely furious at Guy about this. This whole thing stinks.
Why?
I don't know.
You must have been able to play some part of the fury. Was it because I wasn't doing it?
I think there was part of it. And also, I know that we're on a slightly tight time frame because you're doing something. And I was like running around trying to solve all these things. I was like, fucking Guy with things that aren't this podcast in his life. I was just so hot. So hot. But it's things are okay now. I had a little sip of water. I haven't actually had much water. I definitely haven't had enough water.
Man.
Because I was kind of counting on that smoothie to tie me over, but that didn't happen, obviously.
You've got to stay hydrated.
I know. So then I thought to myself, I better not have the coffee because I reckon that'll do more harm than good.
That'll be what'll get you. It'll be the coffee, if anything.
Yeah, definitely.
It won't be all of the other, you know, fucking artifice you've built around consuming this abominable movie. It'll be the coffee.
Well, something's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, and you know, we're going to avoid all the straw. We're going to get rid of the straw.
Can I please ask for, separate from the movie, your emotional high and low point in this
separate from the movie? They are one and the same guy. What part of total immersion don't you understand? I was in the film this time. I was there.
Okay. Well, this is a great launch pad for conversation. Was there value in what you did as a consumer of films?
Do you know, I think there was, yes. I think this would be an interesting, like, can I first say, so I watched this through the Netflix VR app. I don't know why that app exists. I don't know why you would ever want to watch movies like this in anything like a serious way. Like, I don't know, apart from for a joke, why you would do it. It's so silly. It's so silly. And because the way that it works is it splits your cell phone screen into two halves because it's giving you a different picture through each eye. So everything has to be quite low resolution as a result. So everything's not quite as like sharp as if you're just watching it on a normal screen. The thing that did it for me was the headphones, though. That was good because I was wearing some real good, nice noise-canceling headphones, which actually led me to my shining light in the film, which is the smooth jazz music that plays when Miranda and Carrie are going trick-or-treat shopping for chocolates.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I never really heard it before, but it was fucking good eating.
It's a nice little treat. I want to know, at what point in the movie can you map your anger with me to what was happening on screen or in goggles?
I was angry at you for ages.
Was it
a long time?
Do you think, was it divorced from the action of the film?
Yeah, I don't think those two things are related. I think that was more just me. It was kind of like having a fever is what the feeling was like. I was just so hot. I was sweating profusely, which is quite a weird thing when you're in a bath to be sweating.
It's a bad feeling.
Yeah, it's gross.
What do your fingers and toes look like?
Very pruny guy, I'm not afraid to tell you. My fingers aren't so bad because I had to keep them out during the last bit so that I could operate the equipment to set up the record. My feet are pretty gross. Yeah, they're real gross. Don't look at those.
I mean, It's just everything about this idea screamed of fucking idiocy from the outset. And it's that sort of pig-headed commitment to seeing it through which really sets this project and specifically your role within it apart.
I don't know if idiocy is the word. I resent that choice of language.
I chose that word very carefully. I would describe, I think, myself and our one libertarian listener and anyone who caught wind of what you were doing, you know, in the periphery, would, with full-throated confidence, be able to describe what you've just done as idiotic.
I guess, but within the context of the podcast, I feel like it's important, you know?
Why do you think it's important?
Because it's important for us in our position to keep pushing the boundaries, you know? Keep experimenting.
I agree that it's important to push the boundaries.
This was a boundary that I had to push on, you know?
What do you find when you come up right to the edge of the boundary like that?
Man, you find resentment, and there were moments of zen, but that was when the bath water started approaching a good temp, which is probably like a long time.
How long did that last for? How long were you having a nice bath?
The water right now is like, you know, slightly cooler than you'd like, but it's not unpleasant. Now it's fine.
Yeah.
Which can give you an indication of just how fucking hot this thing was when I kicked off.
I also don't know that as someone who's, you know, because if you think about if you go swimming with children, and children love being in the water so much more than grown-ups. They can be in the water for hours on end. And I remember as a child, you know, I couldn't understand why adults would just jump in the pool, then jump out. Mm. But what the consequence of that would mean is that they would lose all sort of notion of temperature. And, you know, kids would get out of the pool and they'll have been in there for 3 hours and they'll be blue. They'll be shivering blue, but they'll be oblivious to the fact that they're cold. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't know if that you've got a great gauge on, like, is there any fear within you of becoming sick from this?
No, because the water's all right. It was very hot and now it's just okay. I've got a very small envelope of temperature that I am okay with. Like I don't do the cold very well. And I don't do the hot very well either. There's just a tiny little... I'm the princess and the pea, but for bath water. So I think I would notice it. Okay, now it's feeling a bit cold, actually, now that you're saying it.
Well, it's just important to beware. As much as I enjoy you subjecting yourself to this sort of mental and physical anguish, I do want to look out for you. You've got a flight coming up. You don't want to be sick on a plane.
It's winter. It's winter here, and we can't build houses proper, so this little Greyland flat's pretty chilly.
What was the last thing your lovely wife said to you as she left the house this morning?
Nothing profound. She said bye. It was very early. I was asleep, really.
Nothing related to what you were doing?
No, she didn't know it was today. She didn't know.
Well, you'll be probably indifferent to hear that the movie more or less, you know, remained the same. It was worse than last time because I didn't give myself an assignment, and so I was just trudging through this with the gals. The knowledge of what you were doing did tickle me pink, and that did, you know, the knowledge of your misfortune made me grateful for my situation. So you'll be pleased to hear while you were, you know, simmering in the bathtub with resentment towards me, I was proud of you and what you were doing.
It's good.
I actually, you know, to the point that there were parts of the movie I had not seen before that I saw or things that I enjoyed. And I haven't brought this up recently, but Sarah Jessica Parker as an actor, her performance as Carrie has sort of some of the nuance within it has really been growing on me. That's not the character Carrie. Like, I still find her largely reprehensible, but there are sort of just flourishes within it, just small acting decisions that sort of really advertise the quality we're dealing with. When Sarah Jessica Parker comes to play, she really comes to play. She really brings it.
Give me an example of this. You said at the top of this that there was stuff you hadn't really seen before, hadn't seen for a while. What kind of stuff are we talking?
That's somewhat unrelated to SJP, but there were just some moments where she was acting against herself or St. Louise, where it's just like there's moments of reaction. They say acting is reacting. And like I said, none of this does anything to absolve the character of some of the bad her bad decisions and selfish nature, but just... and I didn't write down... I foolishly didn't write down any specifics, but just the performance as a whole is good.
Wow, okay.
The things I noticed, and things might be generous, but was... I had a really good look on the...
Hey, can
on
I
the
stop
way.
You there for a second, Guy? Do you reckon you're fucked in the head, mate? You've seen this movie like 48 times. It blows my mind that you're giving like a serious review. What is up?
Hey, man. I punch in my time card same as everyone else. You know, I'm just here to do
like
my
it.
Job.
It's fucked what up, man.
What I do on my own time is none of your business. And so long as, you know, I'm inside of these four walls on office hours, I'm going to be doing the mahi.
So strange.
So as Big and Carrie are descending the steps in that restaurant on their way to the rehearsal dinner, I noticed for the first time a woman behind Stanford who's wearing those transition lenses. You know the lenses that people wear so that they don't have to carry sunglass clips or...
Certainly do.
Prescription sunglasses. He's wearing them. They're in sunglasses mode, but, you know, it's nighttime inside. I don't know if he has any control over that, but it would be embarrassing if you had faulty transition lenses, you know, because you look like a dunce if you're wearing sunnies indoors, unless you're a superstar. That's by the by. But there's a woman behind him who employs a very unique waving technique. So everyone's sort of waving at Carrie and Big, and they're quite excited. You get a good shot of Carl, who has got the most... shit-eating smug grin plastered on his face, like he knows he's going to heckle the fucking toast. Or
he's ready for it. He's ready to pounce.
He's got a real wicked look in his eyes. And for someone who's given, you know, 2 moments of screen time and 3 lines, he really embodies the character. He gets himself inside of that body and he stretches out and he makes his presence known. And I respect that. But there's this woman next to Stanford who's... She's waving, and you know, can you take your right hand for me right now, Tim, and put it in the air and just wave normally, like you'd normally wave?
I'm doing it.
And now sort of lower it so it's like, it's kind of, I guess, parallel to the ground or parallel to the plane of, you know, the ground.
You know I'm in a bathtub, maybe, eh?
Yeah, but you still know, you know, to the ground, yeah. And sort of just, and then from there, just raise it a little bit and just waggle your fingers like, you know, like, ooh.
What the fuck is this? What have you made me do?
Well, this is how the woman is waving. And it's sort of like, it's the way you might wave at a child where you go, hello, you know, and you're moving your fingers to keep them engaged or entertained. Because, yeah. And she's waving at Carrie and Big like that as they come down these stairs. And it's... Honestly, I know that at this point it is. I'm clutching at straws, grasping at straws. Either way, I had a really good time. I went back. I would have watched it 3 times.
Dude, Jesus Christ! Extra credit. You know what's good about that though? It's a lot of result. It's a lot of movement for not a lot of energy expended. It's like how the Queen waves when she's on the parades and stuff. You know, she just waves from the wrist. It's kind of like
all wrist. Yeah.
It's this fingers thing seems like kind of maximum.
Movement.
Maximum efficiency.
Nah, I think your fingers would seize up if you had to do that for a while.
That's true.
Oh, it is less than a regular wave, though. Depends how animated your waves are, I guess.
But it's also that you're kind of creating more movement, so it's like if you're trying to draw someone's attention, you know, it's like
yeah.
waggling your little fingers.
It
very strange behavior for a rehearsal dinner for a very prestigious wedding. How odd.
Yeah. She's a slightly older, sort of glamorous looking woman.
Who are these people, eh? Like, who are you in this fucking... The rehearsal dinner is at a banquet table that is attended by 100 people. Who are you?
Who are any of them? We're not introduced to them.
No.
Not just at the dinner, but also, you know, in the surrounding movie. And because we never get to go to the wedding, we never get to figure out how many people and who the fuck this couple. I mean, we know Big's got literally, oh, no, he's got his family on the invitation list. We know that for a fact. But otherwise,
he's
no
got his
one
high school
coming.
Pals. He's got his four high school pals.
His siblings as well. But that's it. No, does he have his high school pals? I think those are just siblings.
No, didn't we talk about his high school pals? That he was in a gang or something.
We might have. I don't know that it's canon, but actually, should... that brings me on a Big, you know, when I know you love this scene. You know, on New Year's Eve, when Auld Lang Syne is playing and we get a just a glimpse of what Big's been up to since he jilted Carrie, and he is out at quite a nice sort of restaurant. It appears to be quite a convivial atmosphere, people cheersing and laughing and having a good time, and he's just sat at the bar by himself with a glass of vino and a porterhouse steak.
Yeah.
And he looks pretty contented in that moment.
Can
you
I
know?
Tell
like,
you something? Sorry, what? I am in this moment with you. I'm just the audio recorder that I'm using to talk to record this conversation is dripping with condensation, and the sound has just changed quite a lot. And now I'm thinking I'm definitely about to break it. I'm just going to open a door.
Yeah, yeah. Do what you got to do, man.
Keep talking.
So, you know the scene I'm describing. You've pointed it out to me before. You're a huge fan of it. What is the movie actually trying to communicate to us by...
I got water everywhere.
I'll bet you did.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What is what's the movie trying to communicate to us by showing us that? Because he doesn't look upset. He doesn't look happy. It looks like his life is honestly going fine. Like, Big Man, marches on, unfettered by his actions.
I'm with you. I paid close attention to the entire movie this watch, but that one... Man, it was good. Because you see his face and he's... Do you know what it is? He's got the look of a man who is looking out to his kingdom, like he owns all of them. It's like a shot from one of those TV shows about big bankers or something. Those real money men who are up at the top, you know, the Illuminati, who are sitting at the top of the pyramid. And he's just surveying all of the disgusting plebs that are underneath him. That's while he eats his very lovely steak and has his
just
very lovely
Bordeaux.
Just on
a commuter train with a bunch of fucking plebs.
That's the guy.
Yeah, no, I would agree, but I guess I noticed it because it's sandwiched around scenes where like Miranda and Carrie both specifically are looking really upset and despondent at being by themselves. Like the leads of the film, we're shown being by themselves is devastating on everyone else who's captured by themselves on New Year's Eve is upset and thinking about it and not comfortable, I guess, within themselves. But Big is... He's fine.
He's so good. Do you know what? Let me ask you this. Don't you think that Big would be so much happier by himself? Like, knowing what we know about John James
I think.
What the fuck is his last name again? I forgot. John Preston. James Preston, yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I don't think, I mean, you know, I'm happy for their union and that it does take both of them off the market, but I don't think he's built for, as told by two failed previous marriages and all of the, you know, tumult that his relationship with Carrie in the series is, from what I understand, and then in this movie and the next movie go through, he's not built for that. And he seems so content by himself. So few people are truly happy within themselves and by themselves. And here we have someone who is, and he throws it all away for a relationship that can barely keep itself on the straight and narrow.
You know who'd have a lot to say about this? Daniel Sloss. Scottish comedian who has allegedly broken up. It must be like into the thousands of couples now. Based on this observation, that you do not need to be inside of a relationship to be happy.
That's right. He, he's got two specials on Netflix. The one that deals with that, I believe, is called Jigsaw. So if you haven't seen it, well worth a look. I mean, I agree that he would. But sadly, it's just you and I. I mean, you've experienced this movie up close and personally. That's not really a gripe. It was more of a conversational opener. But in a curiosity in cinema, I just want to talk about Charlotte's storyline quickly, which is, you know, the big moment of conflict she's meant to have.
So earnest. Yep, go on.
You hate how earnest I'm being, eh?
I hate it.
Is it throwing you off balance?
It's not. No, I don't hate it. It's so weird. I just find it so strange. I'm in a bathtub right now. Cell phone strapped to my eyes.
This is the beautiful sort of high and low stat. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I'm freaking out. I think I'm very dehydrated. Don't pay attention to me.
Do your best. But so the sort of, you know, the apex of conflict in her story is when, this is what I gleaned from watching it today, she doesn't run because she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie says, "You have to run." And then Charlotte goes, "Yeah, you're right." That is the whole crux of her.
It's a metaphor.
What
I
for?
I actually don't know what it's a metaphor for. Maybe the only
purpose I can see in it is because it, in some way, is meant to shine an empathetic light on Carrie's character and be like, look, she looks after her friends, but the way she looks after them is, Charlotte's not running. She goes, "You need to run." And then because of that, she, like, you know, claps her hands together and goes, "Wow, I'm a good friend. Look at the value I provide."
Mm.
It's nothing.
Charlotte really gets cast aside in this film. It makes me sad. She's a sweet woman. She's got good intentions. She's got a good heart.
She's not. She's represented as just hopeless in both films. In the second movie, her whole fucking storyline is that she thinks Harry's having an affair because they have a sexy nanny.
She's not necessarily sexy. She is big-titted.
We're going to get bogged down in the semantics. I
just thought we always referred to her as a big-titted nanny, and that nonclementia really cracks me up.
Okay, well, I got a confession for you and for our listener.
Go on.
Not specifically in the movie, but whoever the woman who plays that role is, I think she's sexy. I'll say it. It's called Sex in the City 2, and I shouldn't be afraid to say that I find some characters or moments sexy.
All right, mate. No arguments from me.
What's the sexiest? What do you find the sexiest in this movie that you just watched?
What do I find the sexiest? Great question, guy. From Sex in the City 1? Is that from Sex in the City 1?
Yeah. Yeah.
The sexiest. Oh, God. You know what I can't get out of my head right now? It's just a disgusting image. Is Big coming home after Carrie says that Mr. Big really colours... What's the phrasing on it? He really colours inside the lines.
He really stays inside the lines.
That's it, yeah. and him just fucking laying his tongue all over Sarah Jessica Parker's body. Oh, God.
That's sexy to you.
No, it's not. It's disgusting. But when you asked the question, that just like popped into my head and it wouldn't leave. I think that's kind of, that's one of those things where it's like Hollywood is like, hey, this is sexy, right?
Nothing between Big and Carrie is sexy. It's all disgusting and slightly off balance.
It's a bit, it's not for me. It is not for me. What's the sex? I don't fucking know. It'd probably be...
Would you rather have to sit through, would you rather have to watch...
You know who's sexy?
Who?
It's Steve, man. I get it. I get why all of the guests that we bring on keep saying Steve's the sexiest. It's fucking true, because he's a little bit understated. He's the only one who's not cranked up to 11
sexy,
in this movie.
And you see his butt.
It's got
Chelsea,
a good butt.
Chelsea still tells me that she thinks he's a terrible actor and he has the worst performance. And I think that's crazy. And
she's insane.
Honestly, yeah, yeah. I couldn't agree more. But, oh, God damn, what was I going to say? Who would you rather watch? So you have to watch one of these couples have sex for an hour. Actually,
Definitely Samantha.
Okay, well that's Samantha and Smith. That's your choice.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna strike them.
Okay.
They're no longer on the table.
All right. Charlotte and Harry, number two spot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wanna see that Runkle Crunkle.
Yeah, I know. I reckon
I want to see the Funkle and the Runkle Crunkle.
I reckon that their love making scene, because there is that moment of intimacy between them, which is pretty gnarly, where she says, "Thank you for being you," and
oh,
he has this
tender
look like, "I am a nuggety little fuck, and I'm gonna give you that bomb ass dick," and I find it disgusting.
Why do you find that disgusting? I think that's a very tender moment between the two of them.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I think it's fine. It's just like two people who love each other are raising a kid together, sharing a moment of physical intimacy.
Yeah.
No toys.
I mean, it is sweet, but I guess because I don't really like the characters, or you know, I'm just like, ugh, whatever, Charlotte. You're not interesting.
Do you reckon in the TV show, did they ever get into like bondage and stuff? Kind of other little kinks? Kind of more the more mainstream kinks, but do they ever get into it?
I think I remember at some point from my vague, collection of memories of seeing this show on screen. I think there's something where Samantha was in a sex swing at one point.
Oh yeah.
I don't know about bondage. I feel like they'd throw all that stuff at Samantha, and everyone else has sort of got like their quest goes beyond, you know, different types of and quality of sex towards, you know, the person, the relationship around it. And if you want to see any of that fun stuff, you just write it into Samantha's story.
They should have explored bondage with Miranda, I reckon, because I think that's a kink that appeals to type A personalities who are real control freaks. You take the control away from them and they're like, right on, I'm into it.
Yeah. I don't disagree. So just for my game now, we're going to strike Charlotte and Harry from the conversation. So now who would you rather watch between the remaining two couples?
Look, I'll pay money to not watch Carrie Bradshaw specifically have sex with Big. They're going to be at the bottom of every heap.
You don't want to know about it.
Give me Steve's sweet little tush. And Miranda's gorgeous shock of red hair any day of the week over the manufactured chemistry that doesn't exist between Carrie Bradshaw and John James Preston, JJ to his friends, Big to his enemies.
You'll be pleased to hear all of the stuff that you're outlining, like all the stuff about the nose kisses that I used to be like whatever with. I do the longer the season wears on, the more disgusted I am.
They're repulsive, eh? I mean, Guy, we have fun on this show. Do we not? Do we not have fun together, you and I, on the worst idea of all time?
I guess
we have
in
fun.
A way.
I'm coming to you live from a bathtub. We have fun.
Yeah, we have fun. We have a laugh.
At the end of the day, you cannot deny that it is utterly repulsive the way that Chris Noth attempts to devour Sarah Jessica Parker's nose on numerous occasions is a show of affection in this movie. It is stomach churning, and I won't stand for it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Tim. I'm against it too.
Good.
And I'm sorry I ever defended it.
Hey, you haven't actually shared A Shining Light yet, I don't think.
I'm so glad you ask.
My feet are so gross, bro. It's real yuck.
It's the way that Kim Cattrall like delivers
old
the
man's
line.
Penis is each toe. So wrinkly.
Yeah, I got it. If I'd known the girl talk was going to be on lockdown, I wouldn't have flown 3,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
The way she delivers that, there's a little bit of venom. There is genuine frustration. And I believed it. I was like, yeah, fair enough. You know, I know that she's, you know, she's... there's no containing Samantha. And, like, you know, sometimes that makes her the outrageous one in the group of friends. But, you know, she's come to New York City. And...
You're totally right, but you're more right than you know, because it's not even Samantha who says it. It's Miranda who says sex, and then Charlotte who gets all uppity about it because she's brought her kid to the lunch. And then Samantha's just responding to the whole situation in general, being like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
We're going to censor ourselves? I've flown a long way to be here.
I agree. And also, Miranda's so lax, which is great. You know, because Brady's fucking around with his transformer or something in the background.
Yeah, dude, you don't get king of the rats by being a prude bringing up your kid, do you?
Yeah, you want frank and honest parenting. If a child says, what's that? You tell them what it is.
And what is it, guy?
Sex.
Yeah, and a kingdom of vermin.
Eventually.
Yeah.
I saw a rat in the subway tracks yesterday. Its tail... Yeah. You know how rats' tails are usually quite mobile? And, like, you know, this one's tail looked like it was stiff.
Ooh.
Really
That's
curious stuff.
Weird.
Yeah.
Was the rat in a state of arousal? And I don't necessarily mean sexually. But did it look scared or anything?
Nah, it was just your garden variety subway rat skulking around between the tracks looking for some tasty morsels. Probably collecting information on, you know, what apps people are using, what websites they're visiting, what they're talking about, where they're off to, all the feedback to his leader. Or their leader, should I say.
Do you reckon this is how Google works, is they just send out rats?
Do you think Brady's involved with Google now? Is that what you're telling me?
I reckon it's possible. If you think about... Okay, here's the thing. If you're a big tech person... You know, you're a big CEO of Google. You've got to make a few backup plans because, like, if terrorists do attack the infrastructure that makes up the internet and also, you know, like, the internet of things, like, the World Wide Web goes down and then you've got the internet of things and they manage to fucking gunk up the works there as well. You've got to have some backups. So I reckon an internet of rats would actually be pretty fucking good in terms of a biological alternative to the internet as we know it.
I know. And what I find scary about that is Brady, we always sort of had pegged as, you know, going the biological route to world domination, and the idea that somehow within this he has not necessarily transcended, but like that he has gone... He's wielded this biological power and started to apply it, you know, into the technological sphere. That to me communicates a level of control and forethought that, frankly, I didn't know the kid had.
I think the benefit of it is that they're not totally under his control. It's a little bit messy, and that's what makes it good. It's like it's like having genetic diversity, right? So, you know, if a virus comes along, it won't wipe out all of the species if you've sort of not put all your eggs in one basket, which is why people are so worried about bananas, guy, because we've only got one type of bananas now because we selectively bred them so heavily. There's only one type of bananas. There used to be hundreds. And now if there's a virus that comes and fucks up those bananas, we got no more bananas, and we use so many bananas for so many things.
I keep hearing about this. Yet when I go to the store, there's as many bananas as there ever were.
The virus hasn't happened yet, but it could.
Wow. I will say the same thing to you about bananas on the record that I constantly say to you about global warming off the record, which is, until I see any sort of impact from it, I steadfastly refuse to believe. I believe in it, acknowledge it, or change any of my behavior.
I've got nothing but respect for that approach. I don't know if you can hear it, but there's a smoke alarm that's, I think, low in battery in my hallway that keeps beeping. Is that? Can you hear that? Is it coming up for you?
I can hear that. Just quietly chirping away. Yeah, I'm
yeah,
getting that.
It's just doing a chirp. That's what that is. What was your low light this week? We don't always talk about, or this watch rather, guy. We don't always talk about that.
When was I getting really frustrated? I mean, you know, it's a slightly more challenging question because you get upset quite a lot. Yeah. I think in Mexico, I think Carrie's, while I was enjoying Sergius Kapaka's performance within the character, Carrie's behavior in Mexico, with, you know, the memory of that essay in the background of my mind, and just, you know, what Miranda's gone through and how supportive her friends have, you know, tried to be in traveling with her. Just her sulking around and just the way it sort of, it grinds the action of the film to a halt. We get it. You know, you're upset. You don't need to literally embody a 7-year-old child to get that message over the line.
And it goes on too long. Do you know, it was cool? Because I was watching this in the Netflix VR app. No fucking trick-or-treating scene for me, mate. And a shorter 80s costume montage than ever.
That's right. You only see Carrie dressing up in her old duds. None of the other three.
Blink and you miss it sort of material. It was so good. Hey, you want to know what else is weird about the Netflix VR app? I don't know if this is an Easter egg or a genuine fuck-up, but this is the way it works. You strap yourself in. So the way it works is I bought a little, it's called a Google Daydream, and it's just a thing to hold your phone in front of your eyes. That's all it does, and it blocks out light from anything else. It's just a pair of goggles that you slot your phone into, and then you tell it to go into fucking VR mode. Now, when you're in there, you look to the left. So you're in a chateau on a mountain. You look out to the left, and there is mountains out a big window. There's dark wood floors everywhere, and in front of you is like a big TV screen which plays the movie, and if you turn your head to the right, there's like a few lamps and things in this big lounge room that you're in, and you're on the couch. If you look down and to the left, there's a remote control for Netflix, and the buttons on the remote go 1, 2, 3, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And I didn't know if this was like a little Easter egg they put in, or someone genuinely has fucked up and they never noticed because so few people use this app.
What you described sounds, I mean, I know that it doesn't last so long as you're actually engaging with the movie, but those are the little details that make a marketing campaign and sound to me like quite a lot of fun.
Mate, there's two magazines in front of you on a coffee table and a cup of something, cup of hot Joe maybe.
I love that.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's a bit of fun. Tim, would you recommend yourself? Okay, what could you charge for the experience you've just given yourself?
What would someone be paying me?
Yeah, someone says, "Hey Tim, I understand that you've got a home built sensory deprivation chamber."
Oh, no, I mean like you, I would need to, if someone was going to do this for Sex and the City, I would need to give them the equipment and a fee to do it. Like, this is not the kind of thing where you would pay to do it.
Okay, but what if someone's like, okay, maybe not with Sex and the City, but I like the sound of what you've done.
Oh,
what if
okay.
I just want to come over and watch an episode of, you know, Black Mirror?
Yeah, I love that. Mate, I'll give it to you for $5 for an episode of Black Mirror. You get the noise cancelling here. Oh, not the bathtub, though, because the hot water, I actually felt guilty about this. That's got to cost so much money. God damn it, baths are crazy. I can't believe people do this on the regular. I don't think I've had a bath since I was about 12.
When you get out, I mean, you won't get to enjoy this because the water's gone bad, but it's really nice when your body radiates heat. Like, you've got a heater coming out of your body. That's so, it's a real treat.
The plug seal isn't dead tight, so the water's been going down. So because it's so cold in the rest of the house, I've been creeping deeper and deeper under so that as much of my body is covered by this tepid water as possible. I'm in quite an odd position.
Anyone in Auckland or the greater Auckland region, if you want to experience the water slowly running out of the bath while you watch an episode of Black Mirror in scalding hot temperatures, all you need is a crisp Edmund Hillary. That's $5
You don't get the bathtub for that. You get the other stuff. I'll get it's $30 if you want the bath.
Head along to in Grey Lynn.
Why would you do
knock
that?
On the door.
Why do you keep putting shit in that I have to bleep out? It's so annoying. Because you don't edit this. It's the most annoying thing in the world.
You already resent me. What's another piece of resentment?
Yeah, I wonder why.
So do I. We've got a good relationship.
Feels like as good a place as any to end the episode.
I love you.
We will be coming to America, and I want you to see this train wreck of a marriage that's been going on too long. Is the marriage between Guy and I, or is the relationship between Guy and I and the movie? You'll get to find out when you see us in New York City, Portland, Oregon, Chicago, Illinois, and Los Angeles, California. We're coming like next week, so you need to please buy tickets and a friend, judging by some of the pre-sales we've got so far, and come and check us out, because there's also something we'll be playing there that you can only see at the event.
That's right. Lay it on everyone, Tim. What cities need to pick their socks up?
Well, I can't remember the ticket sales of which ones are which. LA wasn't doing fantastic last time I checked.
Come on, LA. I know that the weather's fine. But come and celebrate that weather with us at the Dynasty Typewriter on Friday, June 28th at 8 p.m. LittleEmpirePodcasts.com. Right?
/ live. You got it.
/ live. We'll see you there. Tim, look after yourself. Please make a graceful and safe dismount from the bathtub and wrap up warm. It's like finishing a running race. Your body will trick you, but you really need to make sure you stay warm. I don't want you catching a cold.
That's good advice. Thanks, Monty. I'll see you soon, baby.
Babe.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know. He sort of feels me out. I feel him out. And we go for it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.